Ms. Power?
Here.
Mr. London?
Here.
Ms. Vanden?
Here.
Mr. Kelly? Ms. Cruz?
Here.
Ms. Jansen? Ms. Jansen?
At the top. There's a green line.
I see it.
Okay.
New toys.
Thank you.
Are the batteries in?
I'll check here, I see. I think same issue.
Alrighty. Well, I'd say approval of minutes, but we don't have any. We do have some visitors with us today. Yes, City Manager Joe Mahoney, would you like to say anything this morning?
No, but yes.
Just good morning, and obviously John Scott's new to the team, so I'm just here to support him. And we have a new PIO that just joined the city as well to help with messaging and a lot of wonderful things going on, but making progress every day. But thank you for all you do.
Thank you for being with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself? You're new too.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm Joe's executive assistant. Courtney, the PIO, is actually out at a doctor's appointment, so I'm here to support you guys too.
Okay.
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome. And good morning, Lou.
Morning.
Thanks for being with us. Okay, new business.
Hey, everybody. I'm John Scott. I get the honor and the pleasure of serving as the new Economic Development Manager for City of Edgewater. So super excited to be here. This is, I think, week three for me. It's been great. It's been wonderful meeting everybody. Everybody's real chill and laid back and real excited about all the possibilities in Edgewater. Today's an especially exciting day, I think, with the Artemis II launch taking off. I mean, that's exciting. 50 years since the last manned mission to the moon. And so I think there's so much going on here in Edgewater with all the growth, all the housing, with all the commercial and the industrial. I think it's a real exciting time to be here and a historic time as well. And look forward to working with all of you. Just a little bit of background about me. I started in economic development in 2009. I did a master's in economic development at the University of Southern Mississippi. So I actually went to school for it, which is kind of unusual. But I worked in local economic development pretty much for the entirety of my career. Worked in Mississippi a little bit. I was in Georgia for about 12 years. That includes Brunswick, Georgia, and also Jackson County, Georgia, which is just northeast of Atlanta. While I was there, we had a real big project, SK Battery. It was a $3 billion investment. We landed that one within about 3 months, and just a tremendous amount of growth that happened. While I left there, we had about 27,000 homes that were under construction. So it's just an avalanche of growth. There's certainly a lot of parallels to the amount of growth that's coming in here, and we were able to make sure that we have the right kind of development coming in. We were very responsible and very intentional about how the development was, and we were able to direct it. And so I think there's going to be a lot of good parallels for City of Edgewater and all the growth that's coming here as well. Most recently, worked in Tennessee for about a year, working in conjunction with the project with SK Battery and Ford Motor Company. They're deciding not to make electric cars up there anymore, but it's fine because I got to come here as Florida as a result. So super excited to be here and look forward to working with y'all.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Yeah. We're glad you're here too.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. All righty. Next is the discussion on the award for the City of Edgewater's Local School Scholarship Awards funded by the City of Edgewater, known as the Princess Ball.
I didn't print everybody's, but this is Josh's sample letter.
Did you
kind of share that? I sent it in an email, but it was last night. You can just share them, but it is 2 pages because the first page was the letter.
I read it.
Okay. And the second page, you can hand that down. Is there enough time? Does Christine have one?
I have one.
Okay.
Well, there's 2 pages.
I have first page.
Okay.
Well, here's the second.
So the first one was the letter, which was the sample letter. So great job, Joshua. Thank you. I even looked at AI, and I don't do that. And it had this interesting thing that said, the things you did good and the minor, and it was such minor improvements. I said, I'll skip this. I'm not doing this all over. The second page is a draft, is what the recommended sponsorship tier, and we can have a discussion on that. At our scholarship meeting last week, we said we would do this, and so Joshua's finished that. I think, Amanda, we were going to look at barcoding.
Yes.
For both the flyer and for the scholarship. I don't think the letter has to, but the scholarship form probably would make sense.
Yeah.
And then, Bliss, you had requested I add some things to the flyer, so I want to confirm I wrote that down. My shorthand is not great sometimes, so.
You got it right.
Oh, perfect. So if everybody is comfortable with these items and the dollar amounts, that would be great to have a presenting sponsor at $5,000.
And that might be a bit much. I know we talked about maybe like capping around 1,000, but sometimes you have to, you know, see what might be possible.
It would be fabulous to have like an Advent Health or some of our larger businesses be able to present those kinds of things. I've been to the presentation both at Burns and at New Smyrna. Mike Kelly's been there. I think, Maneris, you were there last year. And there's some wonderful scholarships, and these are significant. I mean, these can be used for anything. So I love the idea that we're 100%. You know, we don't use any money for any kind of admin.
Yeah.
We do this out of the goodness of our hearts. So, and then I also wanted to thank Advent Health for the $1,000 bump and for City of Edgewater just to bring our scholarship fund up to $8,000. And there was one more. I had the word Daytona. Was
yep.
that?
I submitted right that in our budget request, so hopefully that's approved.
Perfect. So wow. Thank you all three for those.
Same here.
To kind of build our fund up.
And when did we want that to be received?
So the scholarships are given out in May. When do you need the funding to?
It would be for this coming fiscal year, so October.
No, we were talking about to fund this year.
This
we were going to do an extra 1,000, 1,000, and 1,000 in order to bring up to 8,000 that we can give away, and then we'll implement the scholarship funding. So that $3,000 would be
that's
between
our seed
now
money,
and May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's
okay.
Our seed
I see
money.
What you're saying.
The fund has enough to cover. That was our seed money, so it'd be for the budget year.
Good idea. Okay.
And that way it would start us off for the Princess Ball again, and then we could
go from there.
And hopefully with the additional scholarships, you know, I think this is the first time we've ever asked for additional seed money for the entire life of the program. So I think it's really
pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It would be nice to have $20,000 or $25,000 to give away.
Yeah.
I mean, those of us that have had people in college, it's significant.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, tuition is this minuscule amount, and it's not that bad in state schools in Florida, but housing and food, whoa. So, any thoughts on the letter? If maybe we can look at it again through the next week. I did send an email out, and if you're comfortable with the letter and the scholarship amounts, or we can change 2,500, 1,500, if that's what we want.
I certainly won't be offended by any change, addition or deletion that you want to make. It's simply just somewhere to get us started. So,
well, AI loved your letter, so you're up and with, you know.
Just a question for clarification. So with this increased seed funding, we are looking to increase the amount of the scholarship or the number of scholarships?
Either.
Both.
Or, okay.
Both. I think if there's some word out that the scholarship fund could be 20 or 25, we might get more students.
Got it.
But what I'd love to see is, like, I know we put some signage and some things up at the tech center. It would be so nice to be able to encourage kids that are looking at that to send them a copy of, you know, the flyer and say, you should apply.
What was the amount this year? I'm sorry, I missed it.
8,000.
And how many applicants?
Eight.
So everybody's getting
a thousand.
Yeah. So along those lines, we never know what it is until like that moment. So, and we don't know until after the Princess Ball, kind of like what, you know, what has come in. But as soon as we know, is it something like that we have to ratify or whatever, but then the amount that has come in from sponsorships or whatever, if we let it be known that there's, you know, 25K available, the City of Edgewater Scholarship, more than likely we would get more applicants.
That's and we have time to do that.
Yeah.
We could also take this sponsorship and just use that money for next year's, because those would be maybe the sponsorships are complete before the end of the year, and then any additional monies we could hold over so that instead of using it right. Because the Princess Ball isn't until February, and that would be an interesting way to kind of guarantee that we'd get close to that 20 or 25,000.
I know, yeah.
It would be nice to have a couple of top applicants that we could give five to, and then, you know, a couple thousand for everybody, if that's...
That's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the average, and maybe Narsh, you may know this one, what's the average tuition cost for a technical degree for our community?
I mean, it could range anywhere from as low as $3,000, depending on their certificate. But it could go as high as, I don't know, 14,000, again, depending on. Yeah.
And that's for the entire degree or just like
the
1 year
one.
Of it? Okay.
Yep.
Most of them are 2 years, right?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So ACE, what's the most expensive one?
Yeah.
Probably your typical AA degree, your standard AA degree.
Yeah.
And that, so yeah, being able to get more than 1,000 would be great then in that regard. So.
Yeah. I want to say it was like 13 grand a year, something like that for Daytona State.
13 to 14, right.
Well,
that's really
good. I guess
you
guys have discussed this, and I don't want to go back and reinvent the wheel, but we feel like there's somebody that will donate $5,000 and $2,500 in this community.
Well, that's Josh's kind of recommendation. He was putting a letter. Those are kind of standard.
Right. I hope so.
We talked about 1,000, but we could adjust those to 2,500, 1,000 for silver, and then, you know.
I agree with shooting for, you know, ask for more and get what you get, but I also don't want.
Nothing.
Well, yeah, I hate for someone to, you know, we ask for five and then people say, ooh, can't do that, and they do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Daytona State would be somebody that we might tap on the shoulder to look at doing a sponsorship. That would be nice.
It would be nice.
Health has said that they are so focused on education. They're funding nursing programs. It would be nice to fund tech programs because you guys, as well as everybody else, is struggling to get that. Those caliber of people that are interested in
those
kinds of things.
And I'll definitely present it. I was kind of thinking I would get the final letter to present formally. But yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's important too, we really haven't done this before, so we need staff, you let staff go shake the tree and see what falls out. And, you know, let us run this down with this letter for the next year with these new businesses coming in and see what we can come up with.
What are your thoughts on the scholarship sponsorship level?
I think they're fine because there's, right, it's a donation, so you donate what you're comfortable with. Just because you don't fit into a category per se doesn't mean you're not going to be recognized or praised for your donation. So I think it's fine and it's appropriate, and we do have some big firms in
Deering.
Deering Park.
We have a lot of businesses coming into the city, and they're going to be larger and better capitalized and able to assist better. So I think there's an opportunity here, so I think the letter is appropriate.
I would add one thing, and that is at the bottom of the funding categories, all donations welcome.
Yes.
All what?
All donations welcome. Yeah. And that way, if somebody wants to give you $25, great.
That's
somebody,
it.
You know?
Yeah.
We could say welcome and recognize.
What about $100 citizen
Absolutely.
Participation
if you
or something at
still.
The bottom?
Yes.
It's still, I think that link is still on the website that they can, a citizen can go online and put in whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right, but then based on this category, it would be part of the advertisement for the Princess Ball is what I'm thinking, right? And you just wish citizen, it's just an idea.
There's a place on the flyer.
Because a lot of them are grandparents, and they'll give money to support kids and grandkids.
I like that citizen because it's for the citizens.
Yeah.
So to have that category.
Yeah, and then start and have that at the lowest level, $100 or something.
So would you put in-kind sponsor or citizens?
Well, those aren't going to be in-kind. It's going to be financial.
Okay.
So the in-kind would be somebody doing the flyer or
right,
yeah. donating the flowers or
right.
flowers.
So other sponsor Which citizens.
Would, yeah.
Well,
kind of help you offset your operational costs.
Gotcha.
Citizens, and then all donations welcome, mm-hmm. and in-kind, because they're all different.
True. Yeah.
So then we'd be adding, we'll keep the in-kind sponsor,
mm-hmm.
and add citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And then add all donations welcome and recognized. in bold.
Perfect. I think we've
so moved.
Covered it.
I'm excited about
we
this.
We just need a vote on to award the $8,000.
Yep.
Okay.
Is there a motion to approve the $8,000 scholarships?
Next year's $8,000 ones.
Yeah, probably, yeah, right.
After we get
I'll make a motion
money in.
To approve the $8,000 scholarships.
Second.
Perfect. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Do we need a vote on any of this, or just I'll finalize the sponsorship and send it out? Okay, perfect.
All right, well today I was bringing you the Southeast Volusia Manufacturing and Technology Coalition's resource guide. Lou, you remember discussing this quite a while ago? Well, we have updated it. And the goal for it is to, when people are looking at the website and they may want more information, of course we want to capture their email addresses and where they're from, et cetera. In exchange for that information, we would send out this resource guide. And so on the left-hand side, you see we have space. This is our latest Site Selection Magazine advertisement. It came out in November, talking about space, you know, world-class Central Florida infrastructure, reliable, moderately priced utilities. I guess that's all speculative these days. already home to 400 major manufacturers and aviation and aerospace advantage. And then it goes on to talk about, put your company here, and gives you the location within the technology triangle of Emory-Riddle, Orlando, and the Cape. So if you'll go to the next page, we have borrowed from Lou's presentation.
Nice.
The Florida Aviation Economic Impact, because you all have heard me say, and you all have heard it, aviation's not coming here. We don't have any aerospace here. Well, we do. And so these are the numbers to prove it. And this was presented at the Q breakfast. As I said, this was Lou's presentation. And it was such good information, we wanted to continue to spread the word. Are you laughing?
I just think that's well said.
We have 125 public use airports?
In Florida.
In Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Lou, please jump in at any time, because this was your presentation. Moving on. The Florida Aviation Economic Impact. Here again, it talks about the airports, the cargo, the industry, visitor spending.
Which is going to double today.
I know. Yeah.
If it doesn't rain.
It'll probably
double anyways, right?
But I like the total economic impact up here in the blue bubble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $336 billion. Who would have thought? 2 million jobs.
That's amazing. And the jobs that are out there are very well
good
paying
jobs. Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, I'm sure our hospitality industry is very large, but the average pay for that is not so great. Okay, so then you move on down, and I like the right-hand picture with the airplane. 10-year change, 2015 to 2024, is a 93% uptick in GDP. That's significant. And we're on track to do that again, aren't we, Lou? Okay, and this is the you know, our backyard impact for aviation and aerospace. And you can see the changes from 2015 to 2024. So just for Volusia County, it's a 69% increase for 10 years. And then the total GDP, 61. The Volusia County Aviation System Economic Impact, just in Volusia County, 18,000 jobs. It's pretty impressive. $1.3 billion. And total economic impact, $3.9 billion. And I like the list over here. Mm-hmm. Aviation activities, aircraft maintenance providers, aviation-related business tenants, commercial service hubs, corporate business aviation, flight training programs, fixed base operators, law enforcement surveillance, national defense, research and development incubators, and of course, visitors and business tenants. So, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
What?
I didn't realize it was that big.
Mm-hmm. And then here we are, business establishments.
This is currently what we have operating in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2024. Airport operations and control, manufacturing, flight training, and air transportation. Flight training is huge. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how much flight training we have here.
That's a
very small plane with a red tail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know the red tails?
Mm-hmm. Red tails are all training.
Yes, they are. We need more of them. But that's a 16% increase just here in those sectors. And then private jobs. I love this one. Volusia County, 69% increase over 10 years. I mean, I think that's tremendous. And who would have thought? Because everybody says it's not here. Yeah. It's not here. Shows that it is. So the Micaplex, which is up there at Emory Riddle. Everybody know where that is? Pass by it? Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive.
It is.
220 jobs created there, and 74,000 average salaries.
I love the student internship opportunities because once that gets out, that's big. We always want to bring our smartest and brightest students back into this area to work, and that's one of the things, Bliss, you've worked so hard for at SEVMTC.
You have to. Emory Riddle just had a job fair in February. I think it was February, March. You know, they all blur together. they had... I want to say 100 employers and 1,000 job seekers.
Wow.
And it's for their alumni, their students and their alumni. And people come back every year. So that's a huge talent pool right there.
That starts to mirror what automotive does, like in Kentucky and mm-hmm. some other areas when they mm-hmm. have the big job fairs. Mm-hmm. That's big.
All right, moving on. And then it shows the regional average annual wage comparison. It could be better, but it has eked up considerably.
What's the page before? Oh, the Micaplex was the 74,000 uh-huh. average, just that.
Yeah, but this is,
yep,
you know,
everything.
Volusia County as a whole.
Yep.
Then the average workforce size. Workforce has increased considerably.
And then the master's degree, doctorate degree, bachelor degree programs, engineering, science, and mathematics. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs an engineer. Mm-hmm. But still, just look at arts and education, 197 jobs. I mean, 197 degrees. I mean, because we still, you need to have a balance of everything. But 2,951 bachelor degrees, 288 doctorate degrees, 449 master degrees. So there are, you know, plenty of people pursuing higher education. It would be nice if in the future we could get a metric on how many are graduating with certifications and technical degrees. Because, you know, the push throughout the United States now is technical.
Yep.
And the message with the technical needs to be that just if you start out with a technical, you can go on mm-hmm. for the 4 years. It's just the career path that we're trying to preach. There's an alternative way to get there that is not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
It might be interesting just because Daytona State is literally our community institution for education and for tech training to find out how many you graduate and what are the categories.
I'm sure we have it somewhere.
It'd be nice to see that increase over a period of time as well.
Well, you also have the Lyman College.
The Lyman College? Mm-hmm.
Well, that just says it in a footnote there with an asterisk, but I don't see the asterisk on anything. Includes certificates, credentials, apprenticeships, and...
You have good eyes, Mike.
Yeah, I can't see that.
You're right.
None.
But I don't see an asterisk on any of them, so...
No.
May have more than one completion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be nice just based on some
which
of
the only reason I bring that up is because obviously they have that information. If they're saying that one of those categories includes certificates, credentials, apprenticeships, and secondary diplomas, then they obviously can, wherever the data came from, can track that.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Or none of them because they don't have the asterisk and they just wanted to let you know that.
There's one.
But my guess is some of them. Or they must have that, or they wouldn't have put that footnote.
Yeah. But you know, when people are looking to come to a community, they want to know what the educational pipeline is.
Sure.
And so, to provide this information, it also lets them know that there is the industry here. They like to cluster, so it helps us in our recruiting efforts. If you'll go to the next slide, and then here's the Volusia County education completions. I'll let you read all that.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah. And medical continues to be a growing demand.
There's your asterisk. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
There's your asterisk under construction. So maybe we have that we can get that for linemen. And
well, you can see construction, building, HVAC, manufacturing, utilities. Most of those would be certification.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. good, though.
Programming, coding can be, IT can be, mm-hmm. office admin. How many nurses do you guys sponsor or come out of? You're partnering with UCF on that, correct?
We have UCF, we have Advent Health University, mm-hmm. Daytona State College as well. Yeah, I think we, new grad-wise, this year we'll have nearly 200 that we'll bring on.
That was a great program.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we talk about state taxes. Everybody wants to talk about taxes when they're considering moving somewhere. So we are in one of the 10 best business tax climates. So we have been as a state for years and years. All right, moving on. And then here's technical assistance. And that's it. So that is the resource guide that we've been working on. And
do you need to change the...
Ryan to Ryan. Scott.
We do. Thank you. we'll need to change them.
Yeah.
So that is the resource guide. And thank you, Lou, for all of your wonderful information.
Well, thank you, Bliss. That's
yeah, that's
job.
Great.
Samantha Bergeron is the, you know, guru on putting this together. So thank you, Samantha. But it's taken us a couple years to get this
couple
put together.
Couple years.
So, if you'll go back to the agenda. All righty. Development Services Director update.
Terrific. All right, good morning. So several projects in the city I just wanted to highlight. We have a lot of commercial and industrial coming into the city right now, which is very exciting because it's been predominant residential for years now, probably decades. And we're really doing quite well. We're back up to about 14 site plans in the hopper again for staff to review. And we've just approved about three or four in the last 2 months here.
Yep.
So we're doing quite well. This is First Business Park. This has that enhanced landscape buffer. The reason I like to highlight these two is this was a PUD, but it pretty much matched the land development code for the landscape buffers. These are the contractor flex space. A lot of people are starting to use monochromatic colors, which is kind of interesting. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. This has four commercial units up front, and then the rest have bay doors for contractor flex space, allow for small business owners. And then just to the north.
Wait. Tell everybody the location, the address.
What is it?
This one's at Majestic Oaks, mm-hmm. right in between Silver Branch, is that Silver Branch? I think. And Oak Branch Drive. And so this is right in front of Majestic Oaks. And then to
do we have tenants already? Are there people that are pre?
No, but John has, I believe, been in touch with the.
Yeah, I talked with the owner, and they're moving forward with it and very excited for different projects. We had one that came in a little while ago, and we were able to get that submitted. And
so Oak Hill has something similar, correct?
Yes and no. Yes, so they have those kind of metal warehouses. Mm-hmm. These is going to be a little bit different because it has a commercial on the front, and the facades obviously much nicer.
But the type of people or tenants?
Yeah, the type of tenants.
I noticed their first phase has sold out.
Yeah, it's completely sold out. There's
that went pretty fast. So I guess the point is there's a strong
huge demand in the city for this type of space. The PUD was written so that it allows flexibility for the TRC to approve different uses. No outdoor storage of any kind is allowed. So everything's within those little warehouses.
You have to be careful. So there's bays in the back for...
On the sides.
On the sides for the... So as a council person, I ran into a lot of issues with age, golf cart people on by
Pelican Cove
or the west and east, whatever they, because they would be out there working on them at like 7 a.m, the grinding, the whatever, and I would get the phone call, make them stop. So
7 o'clock seems reasonable to me.
Well, so what kind of, this is just commercials, rental.
Yeah, so it has the commercial space, and then on here there's these little 1,500 square foot.
What? Okay, they're 1,500 square foot?
Yeah, I was just wondering what they were.
Right? Yeah, they're 1,500 mm-hmm. square feet. You know, right now that's what they're proposed to be, but someone could come in and technically take up the whole space if they wanted mm-hmm. to. That's kind of the beauty of these, is that you can kind of mix and match them. And they, to your point, Ms. Powers, we do have in the PUD restrictions, any use that wasn't allowed by right, and it was pretty restrictive, has to come back to the TRC.
Okay.
So we did that so that there was flexibility in the zoning to allow people to come in,
right?
But still for staff to vet to make sure that we didn't have those types of issues.
Okay. you know, I'm just saying it was a code enforcement issue.
Yeah.
And let's ask Jeff about it.
Is probably this, always going to have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this the development that was opposed at the council many, many times?
Correct.
Okay, really?
The nice thing, so that site was clear cut. It was vacant for years. The developers are planting 100 trees on 3 acres for the landscape buffer. So I think, you know, this is going to be a really nice quality development. And the reason I'm excited is that both Mike's Tires to the north here is coming in kind of concurrently with this one. And so this is just another tire facility, but again, with the enhanced landscape buffer, Article 20, the code already has that you have to do 25% native plant species.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that in the table. This site is planting 91 trees on site. The landscape buffers are really going to be really elevate. This is kind of what the proposed front looks like. They did glass doors to meet the fenestration requirements of Article 20. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just going to elevate the whole area and really provide kind of a new look. And really just
what is that, Mike's Tire?
Increase tax revenue for the city. We also approved this one. It's 511 North Ridgewood. This is Todd Perry's insurance building with future office buildings in the back. Again, just another example of, and the beauty of this one is it's in the CRA, so it benefits increasing the CRA revenue that comes in every year.
Where is that one? I'm sorry, 511?
511.
That's like
so
where?
It's on the east,
it's north.
East side.
Northeast. Before the...
Split.
No, Magnolia
yeah.
Split.
Yeah, I got you.
You have the gas station, and then...
remember where the old hospital used to be?
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Yeah, your husband was born there.
Yeah, he was.
Well, it's right across from the van.
Again, he's doing the kind of monochromatic, so it's kind of, that's now, I think, 5 different site plans that are coming in under this monochromatic theme. So it's kind of interesting that everyone's choosing that.
Mm-hmm.
Might be something to consider adopting since everyone's coming in on it. I don't know. It's something to think about.
It's modern.
That's all, yeah, that's yeah. On trend because it doesn't date.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the beauty of that.
And so is there anybody looking at the State Farm building that's there, that's existing?
We have a lot of people looking at some of these vacant buildings. I know the Babcock building is... being looked at currently.
That would be good.
Several of the banks are being looked at currently. Okay. So there is a lot of interest in redevelopment, okay. Which is great.
Yeah.
We have 3 banks, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Are there monies or incentives for redevelopment? I mean, these aren't really brownfield or other.
Unless you're in the CRA and we have the facade grant.
Not really.
Not really. I mean, we have talked about increasing the facade grant. As an option for the future, just depends on where the CRA board wants to go. And so that would be, that is an option, right? You could do a higher grant. And so if you do a $500,000 investment, the city will do $250,000. Then you're really getting full,
yeah.
You know, that really incentivizes redevelopment. And it really helps the tax roll and it meets the intent of the CRA, which is to increase the value of properties and to address blight through redevelopment.
When is? Right? Can you tell me again when the sunset is of that?
We have 8 years left, so that would be, what is that, 34?
Yeah. CRA?
Yeah. So, and because it probably won't get renewed.
Correct. Right.
So just being aware that it takes time to get projects kind of approved and done, don't run into the New Smyrna issue where all of a sudden they were like, oh crap, we have to spend this money now, and they had to do it quickly. That's
how long does it take? What's the average to get a project through the CRA?
So the CRA meets quarterly. So we have 1 facade grant going on for this next meeting. Typically, if you get staff all the paperwork, you'll get on the next meeting. It's the grant application is really not hard. You just have to have 3 bids for all of the type of work you're doing, unless it's under a general contractor. So it's not that challenging. It just takes a little due diligence up front.
I'm not talking about the facade grants. I'm talking about whatever the chunk of money is. As it comes closer to sunsetting, having a plan in place for using the
like
money.
A goal for so much each year, or to have staff and or maybe volunteer organization or boards like us try and
promote ideas some of that. For it. I mean, because I know we talked about using some of the money to purchase.
Yeah, we have been. So the city last year we purchased two properties using the city CRA funds. To help with facilitate the Main Street vision.
Right.
And we're still working towards that. The county money, though, it only can be spent on public infrastructure, so that's important. Is that there's that distinction. The city CRA money has a lot more flexibility, mm-hmm. and so we can be a little more
creative.
While the county's really focused on, and the rules for it is that it has to be towards public.
For the facade grant,
so which one were we talking
what's
about?
The scope requirements, like of the work that you have to do?
8 years, is that the county one?
There's all things that you can do.
It's the same thing.
Awnings, repainting the building, roof, gutters.
So you don't have to be doing like a complete massive renovation?
And most of our facade grants, because of its kind of narrowed scope, they're mostly refurbishing or refurbishing the building. And that is the intent.
Did they use any of those monies for the building that you're in?
No.
Because those buildings are better than they were a few years ago. They were kind of...
No, it probably helped that the cities in there.
Yeah.
Could you just give them like a 2-minute CRA?
So you said, I interpret there's two CRAs, one for the county, one for the city. Is that what you said?
There's one CRA, but the... So let me take a step back.
Yep.
So the CRA is a TIF.
Mm-hmm.
District, and so essentially the money that would be generated, the tax revenue from the city and the county is held back. It doesn't go to the general fund, it goes into the CRA fund for that area.
Anything above and beyond what the baseline was.
Correct.
All right, so it's one CRA, but the money is held in two pots.
It's held in one, we keep track of it.
Yep.
But that money goes into there. And so, but there's rules to how it can be. And then the CRA plan that we just updated dictates how and where those monies are to be spent. So there's a whole program out there of how those public investments, and technically at the beginning of the CRA plan at its beginning outlines the hypothetical revenue that would be generated. From that, the plan dictates out the different improvements that are to be done in the different areas of the plan. And so when it expires, there's nothing to say that the council couldn't still hold that district and continue to work that plan.
Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't have matching funds from the county.
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right, but there's nothing to say. I mean, it's just general fund money, so that's at their discretion to decide at that point. Even though it is going to expire and it likely won't get renewed, there's still opportunities because the city doesn't really feel that, right? So you're not feeling that out of the general fund right now. And so if you just extend it.
And with that, I'd like to add on, that's a great idea because as a city, you know, when people come in, they always want to know, what incentives do you have? What incentives do you have? Well, that would be an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
And... then the other...
And the beauty, too, of sort of the expiration is that you could expand, hypothetically, the district then mm-hmm. without having to go through all these hoops. And
right.
Right, so now it could be more focused on just U.S. 1, right? It could be a U.S. 1 revitalization program.
Right.
So there's plenty of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And then when you take into consideration that the vacant buildings that we have just identified that are... I don't know how old, could probably all be spruced up, you know.
When did the CRA adopt? How long ago?
2015.
A while.
So it's been 11 years.
Wow. Yeah.
But really, you know, the CRA really hasn't started, didn't really start picking up steam until about 2019.
It has to gain the funds.
Yeah. But now, I mean, the city's doing really well. I think last year we had 400 something thousand for just the city in revenue coming in. So, in, you know, example right here, Todd Ferry's Allstate or State Farm building, all these things, development in the CRA, like the Hang 10 car wash. All those things, I know everyone's not crazy about another car wash, but that is a serious investment in the city. That was a $3.5 million car wash. That's a serious investment in the city and in the CRA, right. Which the point of the CRA is to lift.
Yeah.
It's the fact that somebody actually built something in that corner.
I just think it's funny that people complain about car washes and Dollar Generals, but they stay in business.
Yeah.
And somebody's supporting
them. It's a good car wash.
Yeah. Auto parts stores.
I mean, somebody's supporting them. I mean, the demographics don't lie.
Or they wouldn't be here.
That's right.
I mean.
Brian, if we can get back to your presentation, sorry. I know you have more to tell us.
And then really the super big exciting one is the city council approved the major site plan for Insurtech. So this is a 55,000 square foot addition.
Yay. On
the old factory direct warehouse. Just adding additional parking, adding in stormwater and landscaping. So just really excited. We've worked really hard on this to get them to the finish line here. We had to work through city staff and the county, mm-hmm. all kind of came together on this project. We had to work through the industrial waste. And then we did a grant with the county for domestic wastewater treatment on site so that all the waste coming out of this plant to the plant in Oak Hill that the county owns and operates would be at domestic standards. So there'd be no concern about any environmental degradation or any sort of that nature. And so that's a great grant. And then we worked hard to get them through the process. So they're right now they are completing the renovation on the initial building. And then they're going to hopefully be up and running within the next 2-3 months here. And then they'll be doing that expansion. So this is really a very exciting time. This is, they're anticipating about 180 jobs.
That's a good question.
About a net 120 coming into the city. And they all pay above the average median income in Edgewater.
Well, the tax revenue is going to be much greater than the RV and,
correct.
You know, that was kind of a sales center, sort of.
Yeah, and this is really manufactured.
It is.
So this is, it meets, you know, our SEDS. It meets the intent of everything. We're talking about space industry, and we're hoping now that Insurtech took the leap of faith and chose Edgewater, other companies will as well, seeing how we got this through. And really quite, we've spent a lot of time with them to get this through. The
advantage, though, the site was already there and some of the infrastructure.
We
it would be nice to have a few of
other
those.
Property that's still zoned.
That's the,
industrial.
More reason not to make it.
Did that work?
Well, they, I'll let Brian.
Yeah, right now they're trying to get industrial back into their plan. So they asked not to go to PZ again to figure out how they can make the map work.
Okay. So thank you all for your letter.
Gotcha.
And support. Yeah. Some opposition.
Sorry, this is so scrunched. it's not really that scrunched, but.
It's very Easter eggy.
It is.
This is just showing the landscaping plan. So again, really just elevating the corridor. I think as all these pieces kind of fill in, really the nice thing is that 10-foot landscape buffer is going to really match the whole way, and it's really coming in.
Good time to be a landscaper.
About it, but it really, when we start getting into like most of the city is built out. To be truly honest, there's really not that much left. And so when we get into more of infill development, it becomes more about what the urban design is and how that relates to how people feel in the environment and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a great system going here for Article 20 because it does, and it's kept standard. And the beauty of it, no one's asked for a waiver because it isn't super oppressive, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's sometimes that's the key to keeping consistency in a corridor. And so we're really excited about Insurtech being here and choosing Edgewater.
So some of those lists, when you target
aviation and aerospace, since this is one, and Ryan's talked about some of the great things the city's done to support and kind of move this along and how beautiful it is. Do you use that as any kind of representation of what we can do?
We talk about it all the time. I mean,
it would be a nice little brochure, and I don't know.
Well, we talk about it when we're talking to other prospects.
Gotcha.
You know,
and then
what's possible.
Just a quick overview, an update on Deering Park. So right now, the Welcome Center, which is right here, is nearing completion. Hopefully, we're shooting for May. So that'll be very exciting. Lily Hammock here is the base and curb and gutters all the way in. Down here about the Hammock Park, they are finishing up the ponds. They're almost done with nearly all of the stormwater retention ponds on site. Mm-hmm. They only have about three ponds that are about only about 20% done. So it's really quite impressive. Some of these look like a bomb went off in some of these lakes. They're so large. Quite impressive. Storm and sanitary sewer are currently working on the extension of Indian River Boulevard. We have approved this subdivision here, the townhomes here, the single family here. What's coming in next is this commercial here and this commercial in here, as well as this multifamily is currently under review. These kind of neighborhood, more walkable community areas of both towns and they're not townhomes. They're almost like the houses you see in Boston. Mm-hmm. What is that called? I can't remember the name. Where you have
semi-Ds.
Yeah, they're small lots, but they still have setbacks on them. Mm-hmm. But then they typically have like a rear alley with a garage.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a lot of that actually. Mm-hmm. Venetian Bay. Those areas.
Yeah.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So that's this is what we're finalizing right now. That's
the alley in the back.
EIA. And then we're going to be having the groundbreaking for the wetland park coming up. So again, all really great things. They did get the award from the state to build the trail out to the wetland park. And they're working on currently the four laning underneath for I-95.
That's supposed to
interchange.
Start this year, right? I mean, I thought that was supposed to be 2026.
As someone who works not in Edgewater and comes, I know this is, you're not DOT, but that something's got to happen with that light coming off of 95. It's dangerous. I mean, it backs up all the way. Well, there's no reason for it because there's obviously no traffic on Indian River. That traffic backs up. I know I'm telling you something you don't know, but it's all the way on 95.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy.
So there was an issue because
you
it
come
was
back,
a stop sign. And
well, the lights are there, but I mean, the lights are red. And it's there's nobody coming to Deering Park right now.
Probably just more of signal timing.
It is timing, yeah. But that's something that our law enforcement, somebody should change because it's on 95. I mean, I come that way every day at 5 o'clock. It's on 95, and you don't realize that until you're flying,
yes.
And it's just stopped.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting because maybe it's been tweaked or something.
Right. Well, they need another. You know how you have two? You can have two or three.
Second lane.
Lanes, off ramps, and then they go. They only have the single one, and it's not enough.
I think that's part of the redesign, with the four
right.
laning.
Yeah,
I mean, Port Orange does the same thing, but I can understand Port Orange because there's
chaos.
There's 100,000 people that are trying to get on Dunlop, but
right.
And I can understand how this is going to be eventually. But right now, there's very few people going across to Deering Park or to come go south on 95 at.
I will tell you that as far as I can tell, it's kind of being fast tracked because it all of a sudden
as long as somebody pays attention to it.
It's funded. So
yeah.
And that was it's like on the long range, it was on the 2045 long range plan and sort of a last minute add, like that was 5 years ago. So the fact that it's been fast tracked is pretty exciting. For us,
I would
say.
Mr. Kelly, I will make sure that in the TIA, because we're working on phase two TIA right now, that the concern is.
Yeah, that's not because I'm annoyed about sitting in traffic. I don't ever come home at 5 o'clock, but it truly is a danger. I mean, it's because you don't realize it until you're until it's completely stopped.
Yeah.
You know, and it's more of a 95 thing than it is an Edgewater thing.
Right. How many people are, how many people at 5 o'clock at night or 4:30 are heading
On 44. I mean, if you're going to, I guess my point is, if someone's going to wait at a red light, it should be somebody on Indian River, not,
sure.
or whatever you want to call it, 442, yes. then on 95.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So all very exciting. These are all coming along really well and quite quickly. So we're really excited about that.
Do you get to color code all this?
No.
I'll say it's very well done.
Pretty, right now we're
they did a great
stayed
job.
In the lines and everything.
Yeah. And you see what he does all day. Stayed in the lines and everything.
The plan is to move north and then kind of come back around and circle around. They did unveil the school site, which they're moving forward with for the K-8. So that's very exciting.
That is cool.
It's like a whole self-contained city.
Mm-hmm. K-8, is that with room to go more or no?
Say it again.
K-8, room to for high school or no?
Right now it sounds like the high school is going to be up in New Smyrna Beach and Deering Park Innovation Center.
Okay.
And then the K-8 will be down in Edgewater.
That's mm-hmm. interesting.
Kind of one of the nice things too is Deering Park's been really great to work with. So the PUD didn't require this, but staff always like to push. And so as you get in closer into the town center, the sidewalks get larger. And so I think it'll be a really, really unique feel. And you really feel kind of a different urban vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So from this neighborhood, you're at a 6, then you go to an 8, and you get progressively larger as you get towards the town center. And this is kind of one of the large lakes. Right now they're evaluating different bridges for kayaking on mm-hmm. these, making kind of this a very large. Right now, I think they're about 90 acres they're planning for kayaking with the town square area.
Interesting.
And then the council just approved the amenity center, which was has a lazy river in it, swimming pool. That's the northern first amenity center. We had approved the hammock park down here several months ago, which included the dog park, children's play area, playgrounds within the hammocks, and then the pool again down here.
Okay, I'd also like to point out that is the beginnings of Williamson Boulevard down here in Edgewater going north.
Which, where?
Right here.
Up
I'm sorry.
There.
Yeah.
Right there.
Are you,
Williamson Boulevard.
You're not pointing on anything but your own screen.
Well.
Williams.
Ryan's helping me out. And
Williamson will come down past the Walmart, and eventually will run all the way down into Edgewater, and then in the
I got you.
This is Williamson here, so they're building Indian River Boulevard extension, and then this part of Williamson right now.
So it's going to run right through Deering Park. I didn't know that.
Yes, mm-hmm. And yeah. This is, you know, everybody's talking about in Southeast Volusia, Williamson Road, Williamson Boulevard, Williamson right. Boulevard. Well, it is starting in Edgewater and going north.
When will it be connected to 44?
What now?
When will it be connected to 44?
It'll be years.
I mean, it'll be several years, probably. By the time we get up here, it'll be several
So it goes
years.
To where? Where does it come out? Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the fire?
Right there with racetrack.
Where the light is.
But I'm saying, well, yeah. Okay, I got you.
But it's going to be years before it
no,
gets
sure.
there. So
because that would provide relief north and south
yes.
dramatically.
But in the meantime, you've heard me talk about Old Mission Road.
Yes.
And the yeah. improvement of Old Mission Road. Well, this is why it is so important, because Williamson Boulevard is not going to connect to 44 for years. And we already have Old Mission Road, mm-hmm. which is substandard road with
flooding
whole center
of it, yeah.
and you know, safety hazards. And it's there. So why not fix it? But we need everybody to really champion it and spread the word. It needs support. So New Smyrna Beach is behind it. Edgewater is too. But so he just pointed out all this industrial area, commercial area, and then he talked about all of these projects. I'll remind you that
Park Avenue is the largest contiguous industrially zoned corridor in the county. So there's money for jobs, and we need people to get to their job. So both the 95 FDOT needs looking at, and so does Old Mission Road.
Right, yeah, Old Mission is that you go halfway and then use Glencoe as a...
Glencoe is...
And that's residential. There's no reason for people to be going through there.
So you'll have Williamson Boulevard, 95, Old Mission Road, and US 1. Those are your only north-south connectors.
Does it die at four? Is there any plans for it to go south, like to Volco, Cow Creek or anything?
So the future down the way. So right, the Farmington Local Plan is what set this up in the county 30, 40 years ago. And so what is now occurring is the Farmington Local Plan is being activated essentially through Edgewater, New Smyrna Beach. So they're doing Edgewater first, and then they'll complete New Smyrna Beach. And then basically the other half of the entitlements, I know it sounds crazy, the other half, so New Smyrna Beach and Edgewater have about half of the Farmington Local Plan. The other half is down near Maytown Road. And so this will run through, I call it the cow tongue there, which is part of the city as well. That'll run down, Williamson will run past Wetland Park, run down the cow tongue, run through the Green Key area all the way down to Maytown Road.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And that's really probably, you know, depending how fast Edgewaters gets absorbed and completed and New Smyrna Beach, I guess 20, 30 years, they'll be heading down there with the other half.
Then they'll have to fix Maytown Road.
Yeah. Maytown Road and Cow Creek.
Right.
So Maytown Road, there'll be an interchange.
Correct.
Yes.
With 95.
Mm-hmm. So. And isn't Deering Park building
Cow
that?
Cow Creek growth.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense for evacuations, for a lot of different things. I mean, north, south, where you don't have to go to US 1. I mean, or 90, it's...
Well, you're adding all these residents to you.
Well,
super future is making sure that, you know, with Oak Hill and Williamson going all the way down to Maytown, the Cow Creek extension will become even more important as another north-south for this entire area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
That was awesome.
Back to our agenda. Okay. So, any director's reports from either of you, since you're sort of tag teaming today?
We did complete the CRA annual update, and so that's going online. Looking forward to just continuing doing great work in the city, and I'm really excited to have John. It's been a wealth of information. I think he'll be a great asset to the team and for the community here with his expertise. I always, you know, like to find people that have just knowledge, because I think, you know, knowledge is power, and it behooves the citizens to have the highest educated employees working for them to better the community. So we're really excited to have John.
Perfect.
Yeah. We got a information piece going out today in conjunction with the Artemis too, and so we're going to take a couple pictures afterwards if anybody wants to model with us. It's going to be for a Facebook post, so thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other board reports? Joshua, anything about Advent Health?
Always lots of great things happening. So, you know, we are in the process this year. By the end of the year, we will have replaced and upgraded almost every piece of our imaging enterprise. So we have currently an MRI replacement upgrade that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. It will actually cut the treatment time, the scan time, by almost 50%. So that's less radiation exposure to our patients, as well as in our cancer area, we have a new linear accelerator, TrueBeam linear accelerator for oncology. This machine is massive. It actually helps, though it's a huge machine, you know, almost as big as this entire area. It helps to pinpoint exactly the point of cancer in a tumor for a patient that will allow for a 50% reduction in treatment times on that system, as well as less radiation exposure. So lots of really great things happening at our hospital.
The new hospital?
We're excited about it.
Any more updates on the new hospital?
Don't have an update on the new hospital project at this time, but we continue our efforts around that work for sure. Sugar Mill Road project underway in terms of our permitting and all the pieces that need to happen. Hopefully sometime soon we'll begin to see some of the dirt move on that project. It is scheduled to be completed by about September of this year. So yeah, that's
always
it for
exciting.
Me. Yes.
I don't have anything else, Bliss.
Okay. I'll start down there. Thank you for your information from River CTPO so far. Anything else?
Yeah, so this is kind of one of those mind-blowing things. They've come up with, they're going to do an underpass for Embry Riddle to go across Clyde Morris, to go underneath Clyde
Instead
Morris.
Of over?
Instead of over. There is already a bridge, but it's further down and they don't use it, pedestrian bridge. So they have come up with,
That's what you get when you get engineers, man.
And it runs parallel to Clyde Morris, the walkway to it, it has to be ADA compliant, it goes underneath and then comes back out. And because they did a count of how many kids are crossing the road, and it was like 1,500 a day on just like a normal, you know, in the middle of the week kind of thing. So the students, 1,500 a day, are going back and forth. So they're trying to make it, and you don't have to go down the ramp, you can go stairs straight down to the tunnel. And so I'm like, okay, so when it rains, like, I don't know, there's going to be a whole
pump system
to pump out and LED lighting. And so I said, so then when the storm comes and we're going to have generators and there'll be cameras and, you know, somebody watching that. I'm like, so somebody's going to be watching the cameras all the time? Because I'm thinking, wow, this is a great place to be a little cooler. Mm-hmm. Like, what a great place to set up camp in the the tunnel under Clyde Morris up in Daytona.
It's unusual to have a tunnel in Florida.
To me, I'm like, there are so many things that could go wrong with it.
Like ask the kids to use the bridge that's already there?
Yeah, well, or...
That would be novel.
So, you know, I'm like the overpass by international for the race people. There was not enough footprint to put, you know, the ramps leading up to it. And the college has put in land, the city, you know, everybody's working together to make this plan work. So
that'll be interesting.
It's, to me, there's a lot that could go wrong with it, but, you know, the engineers are all about...
Like, well, are they going to keep the overhead walkway?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
It's just
because
farther
that's,
down.
Again, at a different... It's sort of at the other end, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, but it's right by the ICI place, and the kids, there's parking over there, so they park over there, and then they have to get across to classes, so... It was kind of, and that's just one section of the Clyde Morris update. So it was something like, I forget how much money, a lot of money, the whole project, going up to above 92.
More than seeing you pay for it.
Yeah, so anyway, exciting.
Thank you.
Exciting stuff.
Mr. London.
Attended the Volusia County Economic Breakfast. And then also went to the State of the County address, and in both cases, Lou stood out. He did a great job at the breakfast, and he did a wonderful job monitoring the state of the county, so. Okay.
Mr. Inman, Daytona State College. Anything else?
Well, we're not digging any tunnels.
Start
with
that.
You
mean to get under 10th Street?
That'd be a pond.
Not doing that.
But you're teaching people how they might do that in the future.
Excellent. There you go. We're making more engineers and more tunnels around the world. We are gearing up, I am gearing up for the Spring Community Connect meeting. So that's an opportunity to bring local workforce leaders, business leaders to the New Smyrna Beach campus. That's going to be the third Tuesday in May. And so calendar invites, that's May 19th. Save the dates / invites will go out within the next week. And we are moving towards our summer camp. We host, this is our third year hosting a summer camp, a STEAM summer camp. I'm excited to introduce CPR certification to that summer camp.
Oh, wow. That's a good thing, yeah.
As well as building and construction in partnership with ABCCF. It's a lot of letters. Don't remember what it stands for, but they're a partnership that I made at the Workforce Expo at Pine Ridge last week. They were there, we had some conversations, and they're interested in hosting something, and students will walk away from the camp having built something, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's coming, that'll be June 1st through June 19th. The summer camp dates will be June 1st through June 19th.
Are you gonna be covering any PERT?
Yes, we always keep math. Math is on the rotating schedule, so we do two math sessions. One is called Math in Action. It's more attractive than PERT. So we show students. And the other one is SAT prep. So that way they hit both.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Mr. Kelly.
I got nothing. Sorry.
All righty. Well, I just want to thank everybody on this board. It's a dynamic board. I appreciate all the hard work everybody's doing and your advocacy throughout the community. Welcome, John Scott.
You're
very welcome.
Pleasure to have you here. Yeah. And Ryan, thank you for all your hard work and dedication to this board. We appreciate everything. And I look forward to you two working as a team. And you know how I love the development reports because they are economic activity. So we hope you will continue to join us periodically for updates. And thank you, Lou Paris. We appreciate your presence and all your information and support. And City Manager and Jessica, thank you so much for your time and attendance today. It's nice to have you with us. And with that, motion to adjourn. Oh, and I'll say happy Easter to all.